How you doing? The show's back. Nick Wilson with you. Afternoon drive. We got Macaroni Baloney Mac Robinson on the board. We got Jake Murren behind the glass there. We got JP on the 20s. Coming up in 2 hours' time, he'll take over the co-host spot. But it's just you and me to start today. How you doing? I had a nice weekend. I really did. I don't know what I did because it rained all weekend. But like, this is how you know, like, by the end of this weekend, my poor wife, Vanessa, was bummed because she's like, all we did was sit inside because we just couldn't do anything because of the weather. And then I was like, all we did this weekend was sit inside and watch football because we couldn't do anything because of the weather. And then the Browns game happened. But no, getting back to it real quick. It was wild how Vanessa came out of this weekend a little bit depressed because of the weather, and I came out refreshed. But happy Monday. How you feeling? How you doing? I'm just going to say this, that today, like every Browns Monday, is going to be like open heart surgery. We're just going to rip the cavity apart here. We're going to look at all the ins and outs, as Ken would say, the rods and cones and whatnot. And we're going to get to the bottom of the Browns' latest inexplicable loss, this one to the Las Vegas Raiders. And right now, 216-474-0092. If you want to call in and vent today, well, this is another one of those days. If you want to call in and call for somebody's job, I might not agree with you, but I'm not going to shut you down. And what frustrates me about this is every time we come out and say, all right, why did they lose this game? Every time we can put it on something different, right? Well, in this game, it was not enough big penalties. The one biggest penalty, or the not enough big plays, rather. The biggest play that you did have was called back because of a bogus holding call. And then the defense apparently can't tackle, can't communicate. Really can't do anything consistently to the way they did last year. So if you go back 2 weeks ago, all right, well, Deshaun on this play or this on this play, or we're not a matchup based defense. So we don't put Malik Nabers on Denzel Ward and vice versa. We don't do that because MJ Emerson's got us. Then week one, well, it was all on Deshaun. So the reality is, you can paint me a pretty, pretty picture off each one of the Browns' losses this year, and each one of them's going to be hued in a different light because there isn't any consistent through line other than they're just not playing well enough, except for the thing that bugs me. Like, I almost feel like I could have played, as we played the montage of suck or the montage of dumb that you heard coming out of Berea. And we warned you guys, like, this is not what we're supposed to be focusing on heading into a game. And as far as we know it, the Las Vegas Raiders are a professional ball club. But you know what? We're just going to delude ourselves into thinking that the Browns are just going to bitch during the week, and then they're going to figure it out on Sunday. And by the way, that final call, courtesy of Browns Radio Network, can't forget our niceties here. And the thing is, by Friday, I deluded myself again. I thought to myself, well, things like effort and leadership and team effort and focus, these clearly are things that can be cleared up going on the fourth game of the regular season. I thought to myself, clearly, this team is too talented to play this goofy, this dumb, this thoughtless three out of the first four games of the season. And I was wrong. So Friday's show will be the last time I pick the Browns to win a game until the Browns show up and play like a team that wants to win a game. Because what frustrated me again, and this is where we can just play last Monday's show, is that while there are, all right, maybe you put a little more culpability on the defense this week. Maybe you put it more on tackling and focus and communication with the defense than you do the big drop, the big penalties. All right, and maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe that's a total team loss, and then week one's all under Sean, right? As we just start to hand out the blame. Maybe Kevin gets a little fairy dust of crappy decision-making and poor coaching on top of that. But what frustrates me about it is we are talking about the same crap. And, you know, I'm watching the game in the fourth quarter, and you get Rodney McLeod's big fumble return for a touchdown. And Ness is sitting with me there on the couch. Why aren't you hooping and hollering? And I'm like, I just want to see how this goes. Because it's I'm right in between being super fan and getting a pumpkin and putting it on my head like our buddy Pumpkinhead, and being the other Quaid from Major League Two. On any given day, that's where the Browns have me. It's as if I'm becoming bipolar because of my Browns fandom, because I am 1 second, here we go, Brownies, and the next second, you know they're going to lose. So I didn't react when the Rodney McLeod thing happened. And then even when Amari caught the touchdown, right? Huge, beautiful, I mean, wide open spaces like the Dixie Chicks used to sing about, and Deshaun just drops it into a bucket. I didn't cheer. And Vanessa couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, because they haven't earned it. Like, this has become like an abusive relationship where, quite frankly, I don't know how they're going to screw it up on any given day. And somehow, it's all going to be my fault. And so there were warning signs last week. And even if it was, like, listen, I'm not trying to hammer Amari for his playful jostling with the media. But you spent last week talking about that. You spent last week talking about, well, you know, they're not in the film room, so they don't know where it's going to go. A losing proposition. You got Grant Delpit sounding like the most football player of all the football players. One of the youngest guys in the locker room sounding like the only bit of leadership, with Grant Delpit saying, no, we got to play like this is a must win. And then he might have been one of 10 guys that did. Because we're not talking, and I'm going to go Iverson, we're not talking about, the Raiders just out-talented you. No, they out-identified you. They were tough and physical on both sides of the ball, and you weren't. Well, did they out-scheme you? No, did you watch that crap? The Raiders, much like the Giants a week before, did everything they could to give the game away. And I'm out here wondering, did Bill Callahan sap the talent and intelligence out of Kevin Stefanski to, like, the Monstars of old? Is that what happened? Because the head coach I've seen through four games can't decide whether he's aggressive or whether he's completely conservative. And by the way, not for nothing, when you need points and you've got a perfect opportunity, even if it doesn't go right, to attempt a 58-yard field goal, which Dustin Hopkins has made in an NFL game, and you need every point, you don't punt the ball. You just don't. Now, did the same guy, what was it, 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville on the 4th-and-1, did the pitch out to Jerome Ford, one of the most aggressive calls of the year? But a week ago, we got 3rd-and-1 Jameis Winston, telegraphed. And then we've got 4th-and-1 Deshaun Watson RPO, telegraphed. I'm annoyed. All right? Like, I don't know. I know. That's the problem. Is that we spent all offseason, because we do this after every winning season, and we start trying to count culture wins. Well, the Browns have good culture because they've won now. And we saw that culture play out, right? You juggled 5 quarterbacks, right? You juggled 5 quarterbacks and a lot of drama and found yourself into the playoffs last year with 11 wins in a loaded AFC. Now, was the culture BS last year? Or, as I've thought this whole time, is culture not a one-year thing? Culture is proven year in, year out. And even if you have explosive temper tantrums like George Pickens does in Pittsburgh, even if you have explosive, dramatic, sideline, demonstrative, or in the case of Kenny Pickett, refusing to be the backup, allegedly, well, somehow Mike Tomlin gets the culture where he needs to every single year. And yes, that culture does lose in the first round of the playoffs, or doesn't make the playoffs, but they still get above 500 year after year after year. And now I'm sitting here with 1 day to go into October wondering, where did that culture go? Did Callahan take it? Did AVP take it? Because what the hell happened to have this team? It's the same team. This is what you know what pisses me off? All yesterday. Oh, they're not that good. No, they're not talented. Guys, it's the same team. It's the same freaking team. A couple different coaches. It's 45 of the same 53 dudes that you walked into the playoffs last year. And yes, you got embarrassed in Houston. Yes, you got exposed in the playoffs. But let's bring it back. This was supposed to be a good team. There's supposed to be talent on this team. They're not losing because they're not talented. They're losing because they don't collectively know how to come together and win. Can I spell it out any more clearly? It's leadership. Kevin Stefanski, Bub, it's you. You need to coach better? No bleep you need to coach better. Every guy with a C on their chest, it's about you. Well, you know, that's not how Miles leads. That's not how Nick Chubb leads. Well, okay, find somebody who leads the way you need to lead to win some games. Because my problem is not that the Browns are 1-3. My problem is that they could be 3-1 if anybody at any point stood up and said, it's time to win this freaking game the last 2 weeks. And instead, I'm sure there's going to be more of, wow, we should put the camera on you guys. Oh, no, you see, you guys aren't in the meeting room, so you don't know that that is or isn't a holding call. Or you don't know that you should or shouldn't punt when you've got a chance at a 58-yard field goal and a kicker who's been near automatic until apparently he got the yips yesterday on the extra point. See, that's on us. We don't know. The whole plan was to not take the field goal. The whole plan was to miss the extra point. Right? The whole plan was to drop every other ball. The whole plan was to have dumbass penalties once and again. As a matter of fact, at one point in the game, the Browns had two penalties for 20 yards. You know what I thought? Hey, they might have finally figured out this whole penalty thing. The next play, it was the roughing the passer call. The next play. It's as if someone rung a bell and said, hey, Nick Wilson and Wadsworth thought to himself that we hadn't made any dumbass penalties in 5 minutes. Let's go ahead and put that counter back to zero. I shouldn't care. You shouldn't care. But see, I think that's the problem. You have a city of people who care. You have a city of people who, no matter if the Browns are good or bad, we root for them. No matter if the Browns win one game or 11 games, we root for them. No matter whether it's the nicest team in the world or a bunch of convicts, we root for them. It doesn't matter. And time again, when we think, just when we think that finally we've cracked the code, finally we've gotten over the hump, we get shown that the organization has plenty more leadership and plenty more room to go and room to grow to be where we want them to be. Listen, I'm not going to do the thing today where I say on air, and it's going to be a conversation, I'm not going to say the season's over. I'm just not. There's 13 games to go. And quite frankly, if it gets worse from here, it's going to get worse from here. If it gets better from here, cool. But I'll tell you one thing. That was not about Deshaun Watson yesterday. It wasn't. And if you think it was about Deshaun yesterday, just admit it to yourself. Make it easier on both of us. You hate Deshaun. That's fine. Deshaun didn't play perfect. He didn't play horrible. He played somewhere in the middle. He played well enough to win, which is all any one of us should care about. Did Deshaun play well enough to win? The answer is yes. I say that's probably the second game in a row, third game in a row he's done that. You might say that's the first time he's done that. Maybe you disagree. But to say that yesterday was about Deshaun, yesterday was about Deshaun in any way, form, or fashion other than leadership, is to let everybody else off the hook. And that is what this organization has been doing for a little too long for my liking. Well, you know, in 2021, we didn't match up that playoff series win, so it's Baker's fault. Run his ass out of town. Well, he's immature. Well, he's this, he's that, the other. All right, you fixed his side of the street, and then you went out the very next year, and you won 8 games. Now it's Joe Woods's. Nah, it's his fault. Okay, you fired Joe Woods, you bring in Jim Schwartz, you got 11 wins, and then you get turned around and get smacked in the face in the playoffs. Okay, well, what did you learn? Well, we're going to bring everybody back because we got to go ahead. We got to keep this culture going. And then the 1-3 start. And the 1-3 start during the easiest stretch of the season. Remember, they took practices from several of you who would have gone to see them in Berea. So you could go down to West by God, West Virginia. And so, because that was the key to last year. I guess it's like magic. It wore off. I guess maybe it wasn't the Greenbrier even at all. But hey, at least we got to go ahead and strip a few more practices away from hardworking fans who would have got to see it, right? Because they're apparently the distraction. If it sounds like I'm lashing out, it's because I am. Because I just would like to like my team. I would just like to want to root for my team. Instead of getting to a point 4 games into the freaking season where I'm like, let's let it play out. That's a really cool play by Rodney McLeod. Okay, let's see what next. That's a really great pass by Deshaun over the top. Let's see it play out, though. And then it played out exactly as it should, with an inferior team beating you twice in a row. I'll give the Dallas might be better than you. I mean, what's their record? They've got 1 win since you beat them. And it was against the Giants, who beat you on Thursday Night Football. They're not very good. Well, they won 11 games last year. It's all Deshaun Watson. He didn't hold. In fairness, that was a BS call. He didn't not tackle. He didn't drop his own passes. 216-474-0092. It's the same thing, guys. It's leadership is not where it needs to be. I don't know. And by the way, some of that is on Deshaun because he's got the C on his chest. But this is as stupid of a start to the season as you could possibly have for the Cleveland Browns, with 2 straight weeks, 2 teams trying to give you the game. And each time the Browns said, we'll see next week. No, thank you. Return to sender. Nathan Zagura joins us coming up at 3. We're going to have Kevin Stefanski's, I'm surely, highly, highly informed press conference coming up at 4. Lot of details with old Kevy Kev. JP joins the show at 4, the 5 at 5 at 5. Daryl Ryder joins us at 6, around the NFL, coming up at 6:20. I'm not annoyed at you, all right? We're in the safe space together, the trust tree with the nest. So we're going to get started. What are you most disappointed in? I'm most disappointed in a team who I thought the culture was going to be the backbone of a team, and now 3 of the 4 games, I've watched them kind of no-show and just not seem like they care that much. As a fan who cares, that pisses me off. More to come.